Brother Parsons, would you come forward then at this time? I don't think we need an introduction to our brother Leland Parsons of Salem, Oregon. We've enjoyed his services for so long now that we take him as part of our Vancouver convention. And as we've emphasized, Brother Parsons' subject is the King's business. Brother Parsons.
Thank you very much. Dear brother, and I'm sure Sister Parsons and I are truly blessed to be with all of you at this convention. We have enjoyed the blessings of the Lord, our fellowship together, and so many helps that we need along the way. I think when Brother Art Penn read the morning resolve, my earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? And then that to call to mind the instance of our Lord at 12 years of age. That was early too. He said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So that would be our thought, I'm sure, as our mind is on the Lord's business. When we think of a business, think of an earthly business or worldly business, it's necessary to take regular inventory of your business, have audits of the accounts, the books checked, and then financial statement to show whether the business is gaining or whether it's losing. And to put in recommendations for betterment in that business, so it will be a profitable business. So this morning we want to check on our Father's business that we are privileged to share, whether we are doing all that we can, and whether it is going to be profitable to us. There's a beautiful thought given to us in the 45th Psalm, the first verse. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. Another translation, my heart is stirred by a good theme. I say my work concerns a king. And dear brethren, when we think of a big business here on the earth, there are big businesses, but the business that we have been invited to share is a much larger business than any business in this world. It's hard for us to appreciate what it means to be invited to share with our Lord in preparation for that bride of Christ to be with him, to bring the blessings to the world of mankind. And the poet has expressed it this way, I am a stranger here within a foreign land, my home is far away upon a golden strand, ambassador to be of realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my king. This is the message that I will bring, a message angels fain would sing. O be ye reconciled. Thus saith the Lord my king, O be ye reconciled to God. That business is a very simple organization. It's our Lord gave it to us in, I believe it's John, the 15th chapter, in the first verse, where he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. And those of you that abide in him, and he abides in you, will bring forth much fruit. So our business, it seems to me, looking at this organization, is to bring forth much fruit. You think of a vine bringing forth fruit, and Paul tells us about what the fruits of the Spirit are. We had it in our Man of Comment this morning. You think of a vine, you think of grapes on that vine, but on this vine, there are various kinds of fruits. I think about a fruit tree. You look out during the winter time, and not many of us can tell the trees because up here, the leaves are gone. So say, well, I don't know. It might be an apple tree or might be a pear tree, but when the leaves come out, some more of us can tell what kind of a fruit tree it is. But brethren, when the fruit is on, when you see luscious peaches on a tree, you know it's a peach tree, don't you? So when we see by their fruits, we're told you will know them. We know a tree when it has the fruit on it. So when we think of the fruits, the gain that we make in cultivating the fruits and graces of the Spirit, we hope that we can recognize them in one another. We do in the convention. We're full, aren't we? We're just so thankful to the Lord for every blessing, and especially our association together. These fruits, imagine All kinds of fruits on one branch. That's contrary to nature, isn't it? But they are. Here they are. The apostle names many of them. He says the fruits of the Spirit. That's what we're speaking of, isn't it? They're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. These, dear brethren, are fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 22. Why are we developing fruits here? What benefit there is from it? We think of the necessity for cultivating a character that our Heavenly Father can use with our Lord Jesus in the kingdom. But don't you love to meet with brethren that really are giving their lives fully to the Lord? Not only in just a good, warm hand clasp, but in what are they doing? They're doing something for the brethren. They're offering prayers on our behalf. They are attending meetings. They're taking part. They're assisting all they can in the furtherance of the development of the fruits in them and in one another. And I like to think of these fruit development as treasures in heaven. They're not only for here, but they're treasures in heaven. And you think of fruits will be these treasures are preserved for the heavenly condition. Preserved fruits are sweeter, aren't they? So when we're laying up treasures in heaven, they will be even sweeter than we see them manifested among our brethren today. I like that thought in the last chapter of Revelation, how the river will be coming forth out of the throne of God, and on either side is the tree of life and the fruits coming every month, not just during the summertime, but every month of the year for the benefit of the world of mankind. So we are developing these fruits for a purpose, dear brethren. In these thoughts I have this morning, there are many instances where in operating and being a part of this business, you say, well, there are certain things that have to be done, and you've got to watch out for some of these things. The Lord said in many instances in Revelation, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Calling attention, you've heard something. Are you really listening? Are you going to bring it into your life so that it will do some good for you? The Apostle Paul used the expression, I beseech thee, consider him, and so many times take heed. Those two words there, take heed, we've looked up a few of those, and they really mean something to us. Take heed. It was used in Luke, the 8th chapter, when our Lord gave us the parable of the sower, and he ended it with, if any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And then he said, take heed therefore how you hear. The sowing of the seed in this parable dropped in various places. Some by the wayside, it was trampled on, and the fowls picked it up. Others fell on the rocks, and it came up quick and withered away in the sunshine. And others fell on among the thorns, and it was choked. If I'm telling these things, you're thinking of the application, of course. Some fell on good ground. We hear the word of the Lord, and it's operating on our behalf to cultivate these beautiful fruits of the Spirit. We're glad that we have good ground in our hearts to hear this message of the truth. We wonder sometimes about the truth. We hear brethren say, well, I met the minister on the street, and did I give him a good one? Well, that's good maybe, but is that what we get the truth for, using it as a sword to cut somebody? No, it's a beautiful thing. It's too lovely to use to cut anybody. The truth is not curiosity either. It's the Lord says, if you take the truth in the love of it, then you will continue in the truth. But if not, he said he will send a strong delusion to take it away from you. So, dear brethren, we want to appreciate the truth. We want to appreciate the privileges and blessings that it brought to us. We realize it's all given as God. We are taught of God. So in our encouraging one another with words and what we may do, we describe the truth to them, not to show them they're wrong, especially, but to make it appetizing. We tell them about these beautiful things, and if you're told about a dinner, we're going to have roast beef, and it's going to be just done just right, and All these lovely things, you can get hungry pretty fast, can't you? Well, that is what we want the truth to be presented, so my, that sounds very, very good. I think of, too, of putting something before us. I think of a savings account, like we talk about treasures in heaven. That's really a savings account, isn't it? I know you, with children, it's good to start a savings account. You tell your boy, well, now, I'm giving you a quarter here, but it'd be a good thing, Bobby, if you put part of that in your bank. Do you leave it there? He might ask you, well, Daddy, what do I put the dime in the bank for? What for? Well, it's just a good idea to save money. It's good to start a savings account. Well, yes, that's good, but I noticed a little article, I think it's in the Reader's Digest, how a savings account should be for some purpose. You could say to him, well, now, look, Tommy, if you put part of your money away every week, you know, you might get a good red bicycle out of it for long. Oh, well, now I want to save. We think of saving for many things. It might be for a vacation, might be for a new car, a new home. It might be to go to the convention. That'd be a good savings account, wouldn't it? Then we think of those that are saving, they're going to be married. That's most wonderful. That's our position, dear brethren, in this business. We're putting up a savings account for a marriage. And that is also brought out in this 45th Psalm. That, I have it noted here, I think I can find it. It's just beautiful. The 45, 45 and 10. Hearken, O daughter, excuse me. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. How are you hearing? Incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Worship thou him. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Within. Fruits and graces of spirit. And her clothing is of wrought gold. She'll be brought before the king in needlework. Needlework. It's going to take a lot of painstaking needlework for us to... We get these pictures mixed up, don't we? We have fruits, we have needlework, we have... But they all mean the same thing, a character likeness to that of our Lord. Endeavoring to copy him. We had number one on take heed. Here's the number two in Matthew 24:4. Take heed that no man deceive you. That was given very early. One of the first things the Lord said in when he asked him, what will be the signs of your presence? Take heed that no man deceive you, because there will be deceptions abroad, and especially during this day. Deceivers, false teachers, false prophets, to deceive, if possible, the very elect. But ye brethren, in 1 Corinthians 5:5, ye brethren are children of the light. It's in the light that we want to always walk. In darkness, it's easier to become deceived. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We're grateful, dear brethren, for the light of this present day. What do we have? Why, we have, like for instance, when the brethren want to prepare a talk, what do we have? We have the volumes, we have the reprints, we have so many things. And you say, well, what could I talk about? I've heard that, I've said it myself. But, dear brethren, we have so much. It's abundant. Maybe we're oversupplied. The table is so full that we kind of look around like the dish of cake yesterday. I don't think there are two pieces, hardly the same kind of cake. Well, if it was all one kind, well, that'd be easy. We'd take one. But we have so much, dear brethren. It's just we're amply supplied, but on the other hand, deceivers are waxing worse and worse. Here we're very grateful for the special servant that our Lord selected to bring us this meat in due season. The words of the wise man in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. When you buy something, you have to deny yourself. You have to work for it. It'll cost you something. This truth, this understanding, this wisdom, instruction, and understanding, he said, is bought at a cost. Number three, let every man take heed how he buildeth. Well, there's another picture, isn't it? Building. We're a building. Ye are the temple of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul says, I have laid the foundation. He told us about... Remember what he said? Well, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God power of God for building purposes. A foundation, if you please. If you start to build a house, you start with a foundation, and a good foundation if you want a good house. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew, and also to the Greek. And we realize that when we say a foundation, the ransom sacrifice of Christ, it's like the center of a wheel, and all spokes go out from this center of the wheel. All these doctrines, when we mention those things, we just have to call to mind one, Romans 5:19, for by one man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. We're so glad that the scriptures are given with so many of these things that give us a foundation doctrine. Take heed how we build on those. And number four, this is interesting, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, there's no danger of our falling, is there? Why, there's another, in the diaglot says, let him who is thinking that he has stood. Oh, yes, I can see where I've got it. I'm all right. I'll never fall. Oh, dear brethren, there's a possibility of our stumbling or falling. A thought that we might have reached the ultimate, that we have it. We have ripe fruit, and now we're all ready for harvest, aren't we? Well, many possibly think they have advanced ideas on truth. You receive them in the mail. We have literature in the mail, and it may be very good, and no doubt is good. Much of it is good. But I think not only what we receive, but the brother that sends it out, or the institution, or whoever it is, have reached the place where they can start writing. It may be very good, but I think of that spiritual pride that might be developed in one that is sending out written literature. We want to be careful, dear brethren, every angle. We want to watch, take heed lest you fall. Not that we want to discourage anyone from studying, examining these things, helping one another to see the beautiful details of this wonderful message of truth that we have. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It takes so much more care now than it may have years before. In the 91st Psalm, what's that warning? 1,000 will fall at your right side and 10,000 at your left hand, right hand. Why, that's a falling away, dear brethren. Well, what could we have some thoughts on, well, now, what's going to stop me from falling? What are some of these thoughts? Now, let's break this up just a little bit. Just take heed lest we fall. Well, I put at the top of this what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Study to be quiet and to do your own business. Oh, dear brethren, if we could just mind our own business. We can't help it sometimes. We just have to inject something because, oh, this brother or this sister, they're making such a mistake, and we would like to show them what's the right way. But each one figure that out for themselves. Study to be quiet and to do your own business. Not that we want to be indifferent to the welfare of our brethren, because they have their rights, they have their duties, others have their obligations. We don't want to step in and take it away from them. Another one on this would be to exercise great patience with others in their faults. I'm thinking of myself when I'm saying these things too. More than in dealing with ourselves. We got to be strict with ourselves, but great patience with our brethren. And here's something that might start to a fall. Do not be touchy or easily offended. Well, when someone criticizes, it hurts, and I don't know whether I want to speak to them again or not. Touchy, easily offended. Oh, let's be kindly charitable to one another, ready to make excuses for them. And if you have been slandered, not many of us have been slandered, actually, but then we want to make it right if we can. Plainly give them the facts and then leave it alone. Not follow up and keep bothering with it. God's people should beware of pride. Beware of pride as they would avoid a deadly poison. We don't know when we have pride. Sometimes I think we just got to watch ourselves continually. Pride is the besetting foe of those blessed by present truth. Like we said, well, who among all professing Christians have a knowledge of that wonderful truth as given to us last night? The kingdom and the wonderful details of that kingdom. We have it, dear brother. If we could have a selfish love for the truth, we might feel that we're heaven's favorites. Truly, there's no room there for any pride. He giveth grace to the humble. God hath chosen the weak things of this world, so we have nothing that we have not received. And another thought here that might help us in our king's business from falling is purity of thought, purity of heart. Be ye pure, clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. Maintain a conscience void of offense toward God and men. And this, dear brethren, begins right here in the heart. In our heart, as David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we can't prevent thoughts coming into our minds, but we don't have to entertain them. And we're fighting that continually, aren't we? We see something and it reminds us of something and that reminds us of something and here we are, our minds are on something else. So, dear brethren, it takes courage, it takes bravery. That's another one. Be brave. Be courageous in this battle. We don't have to be contentious, but we want to be brave. Battle against sin and evil things. So let him that thinketh he stands take heed, lest he fall. Well, we jump to another take heed. Number 5 is taken from Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. What to say about this heart? It's evil, it's wicked. That's the heart, that's the old mind, the old body that we're putting down. It's there. It's there. Unbelief. Keeping the old man under control. A wicked heart. Without faith. Gaining the upper hand. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Maybe you can see it. Can I see it? Root of bitterness that spring up that might defile us. Guarding against thorns, thistles that will injure the growth of the new creature. We are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the end. We could ask ourselves, well, we do many times, am I as zealous for the truth as I was last year, 5 years ago, 10, 20? Is it sweeter? Am I more determined than ever as I get nearer the goal? If we're losing that closeness to our Heavenly Father, let us keep close to our Father. I think of a job in worldly business. Many times a problem will come up and I can't see that. I don't want to talk to the boss. I don't want to see him. He doesn't like the way I do my work and I can't talk to him. There takes bravery, dear brethren. Talk to your boss. Are you interested in the job? Or not? Or are you just doing what you're told to do? If we could just go in and see him about some of these problems, lay it before him, it would please him and would put you in so much better state of mind. A business is your business. It's our business. Let us talk to our Father. Is there anything that we can do? Is there any little burden that we might share in this business? The harvest work isn't ended. Not yet. Amos 9:13 says the plowman is overtaking the reaping, treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. So we are right on the very, this is the changeover dispensation, but we're privileged to be here and see these things going around about us. The plowman of the new age is increasing as the gospel age work is decreasing. Also the harvesting of the vine of the earth, treading of the grapes, crumbling of earthly institutions is overtaking the sowing of the seed for the new dispensation, the millennial kingdom. So the ministry of the truth is still all important. All important. Hold to the doctrines. Number 7, take heed. Take heed, brethren. This is found in 2 John verse 8. Take heed, brethren, that we lose not those things that we have gained, that we receive a full reward. Take heed that we lose not those things we have. We want a full reward. Look to yourselves, watch yourselves. watch our business if we are growing in grace. We grow in grace as we do for others. Our first responsibility is our vow, our promises we've made to the Lord, and then we may think of others and our service to the Lord in denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Him. James says in 3:1, be not to many of you teachers, brethren, knowing that the testing will be more severe. We are expected to live our life in accordance with the advice that we give out. Are we doing that? Happy is that man that is not condemned in that thing which he alloweth. Romans 14:22. That'd be real happiness if we could live up to the standard that we are holding up before us, the standard of a true Christian. Though I give my body to be burned and hath not love, it profiteth me nothing. What am I, developing these fruits of the Spirit? How am I doing in this business? Look to yourselves that we lose not those things gained that we have received, that we will receive a full reward. We might ask, well, what are some of these things? What do we have? What have we gained? What do we have that we didn't have before? What stock do we have in this company? Let's pull the papers out and read them over again. See, what do we have? Do we own anything in this business? Well, we say, yes, we have the truth. We say it just to kind of like, yes, we have the truth. Well, the truth, brethren, a knowledge of God's most wonderful plan of the ages. The truth, the details, the understanding of the ransom, and the whole sweep of the divine plan. We have that made very plain to us. We have something else. We look to turn the page and we find we have a standing of righteousness with our God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, a justification. Oh, we surely have. Then we are accepted as a sacrificer with Christ, buried with Him in baptism, a death. We have a hope, a prospective sharer in the seed of Abraham, a blesser of all the families of the earth, if we are faithful, joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Lord. And we turn another page and we say we're called into fellowship with His Son. Those things are most beautiful. We speak about them. They're riches, dear brethren. They're treasures that we'll never appreciate until we see our Lord face to face and realize what we have. So this timely expression, take heed. Take heed, especially as we see the day approaching. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down until thine arduous task is done. Thou wilt not receive thy crown until it is completed. It is a test of patience, isn't it? Sometimes we have to watch for over-eagerness for that kingdom. We see that too. Some are saying, well, we're all through. This is it. No, we're not. But I think of the thought we were talking the other evening about the trials now wearing out the saints of the Most High. We're going on we don't have any dates in front of us, do we? No. We are going by faith, walking by faith, and it's a possibility that we will become weary, that we might become discouraged. One of the worst foes of the new creature is weariness, discouragement. What's the use? We realize it takes a tree a long while to grow. Several years ago, we were over in eastern Oregon in a dry country, where the junipers grow, and it so seldom ever rains over there. They have very light moisture. But we cut down two or three of these trees and trying to find a knife piece for turning out some boas and so on. And I was amazed to look. And you have to use a magnifying glass to find the years. They're just such slow growing. And I wonder if the olive tree isn't something like that. Don't we have an expression of the slow growing olive tree? So we want to have day by day, brethren, day by day increase in the development of these fruits. And how are we taking the trials? Apostle Peter said, consider, think it not strange concerning these trials. Well, sometimes we do think it peculiar and strange that come upon us. But he said, we're to rejoice, because these are some of the experiences of our Lord in His sufferings. We suffer with Him that we may reign with Him. We can claim these exceeding great and precious promises if if we daily suffer and die with him. The reward is so beyond our conception, we cannot appreciate it. Think of from the lowest of God's creation, intelligent creation, to the highest, the peak of life, divine life, immortal life. Many talented, wealthy people, you'd say, you look at them and say, my, there's one that the Lord would surely choose. They look at someone, we had an election down in Oregon on Friday, we run off and didn't vote, my, my. Anyway, there are some who have worked all their lifetime for a position in political office. For what? 4 years maybe? And then they kick them out with no good recommendation at all. They're not what we wanted. Such a short time. We, dear brethren, are going through these experiences for a heavenly reward, one that will last eternity, one where we may be part of that temple of God and he will dwell with us. Business for my king, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Overcome, daily overcome. It's the small things of life that require overcoming. So, dear brethren, let us that have this glorious hope before us be more diligent, more zealous, more watchful, that nothing will hinder us from winning this full reward. O glorious hope of heavenly love, it lifts me up to things above. It bears on eagle's wings. It gives my joyful soul a taste and makes me even here to feast with Jesus, priests, and kings. Oh, that I might at once go up, no more on this side Jordan stop, but now the land possess. There dwells the Lord, our righteousness. He'll keep his own in perfect peace and everlasting rest. May the Lord bless us with these words. Our time was, we thought it was going to be short, and we skipped some, but better quit early than to run over.
Thank you, Brother Parson. Maybe I was dazing just a little bit back there, too. We indeed enjoyed that talk very, very much. Brother Parson's talk came very close and home to me, because it is my business in life to meet a lot of salesmen. And the ones that impress me most are those that are diligently coming in around, not trying to high pressure, so to speak, but what we call in the trade just dogging it. They are every opportunity trying to sell you a product, and not as these high pressure ones trying to put something over on you. So we as salesmen should remember that too, that we have a good product to be sold, the truth. And there are many listening ears to hear it, and I think as all these admonitions that the brother has put before us, that we have a wonderful stock in store to be sold, so that every effort should be put forth to this end. So we do thank you, brother, and we have our closing hymn number 201. 201. In the last verse, please. Oh.
Loving Father in heaven, in gratitude of heart, we bow before Thee, thankful for the blessed privilege we have of calling unto Thee, the gift of Thy dear Son. Through Him we have the exceeding great and precious promises. Thank Thee for blessed privileges of this convention. Thank Thee for the messages, encouragement, and the experiences we have one with another. We thank Thee for that blessed hope that is ours, and that Thou hast kept us thus far from falling. We do want to take heed to all of our ways, that we may carry on our King's business, that we may daily commune with Thee, be instructed by Thy holy word, and to be developed more each day in the beautiful fruits of the Spirit, to walk in our Master's footsteps. And we think not only of ourselves here, but our dear brethren, wherever they may be, many going through trials and difficulties which are hard to bear, but we know that Thou wilt be with them. And we ask Thy forgiveness for our shortcomings and failures, praying Thy continued blessing this day, for we ask it and thank Thee in Jesus' dear name. Amen.